Well, if you've been with us for our study of Daniel so far, then you have been already, I'm sure, challenged by Daniel's example. Young Daniel was faithful to God. He was taken from Jerusalem at about 14 years of age, and he remained faithful to Yahweh despite Babylon's efforts to conform him. Remember, he chose vegetables and grain over the king's choice food so as not to defile himself. He drank water when he could have gotten drunk on the king's wine. And God blessed Daniel's faithfulness and gave Daniel and his three friends success. They excelled the other youths in the Babylonian training program. And Daniel so far has been a model for us of following Yahweh in the midst of a pagan society. And that only at about 17 years of age, as we kind of come into our text this morning. He was 14 when he was taken captive. 3 years of training program in Babylon, and so he's about 17 years old now. And so far in this book, we've seen Daniel. We've also seen God. It was the Lord in chapter 1, verse 2, who gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hand. It was God in chapter 1 and verse 9, who granted Daniel favor with Ashpenaz, the commander of the officials. And it was God again in chapter 1 and verse 17, who gave Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah knowledge and insight. He made them succeed in their studies. And the other group that we've been introduced so far, I guess there's two more left here. One is the wise men of Babylon, the magicians, the conjurers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans. And so we have the wise men, and we also have King Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar is an angry, tyrannical despot. The wise men were supposed to be able to communicate with the Babylonian deities. But we found out last time in chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, that they could not do so. They could not communicate with the deities. And of course, we know that the Babylonian deities are not God. There is only one God, the creator of the world, Yahweh, who chose Abraham and his descendants, chose Israel. And this is Daniel's God. This is the one true God. And this God has a son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came from Israel, who descended from Israel according to the flesh. And we found out last time that this Nebuchadnezzar had a disturbing dream. And somehow from that dream, he knew that the dream was important and he wanted that dream interpreted. But he didn't trust his wise men to give him a correct interpretation, and so he made them tell him the dream. And that way, he would be able to know, if they could do that, he would know that the interpretation that they gave was right as well. But they admitted that they could not talk to their gods, and they could not receive from their gods the dream. And so if you look at chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "The Chaldeans answered the king and said, 'There is not a man on earth who is able to declare the matter for the king. Inasmuch as no great king or powerful ruler has ever asked about a matter like this of any magician, conjurer, or Chaldean. Moreover, the matter which the king asks is difficult, and there is no one else who could declare it to the king except gods, whose dwelling place is not with flesh.'" And so only gods could do it, they said, but their dwelling is not with flesh. No one could do it, they said. And then if you look at verse 12, it says, "Because of this, the king became indignant and very furious. And he said for them to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the law went forth that the wise men were to be killed, and they sought out Daniel and his friends to kill them." And that's where we stopped last time. Let's read our text now for today. We're starting in verse 14 of Daniel chapter 2. "Then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, a powerful official for the king, "For what reason is the law from the king so urgent?" Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and sought from the king that he would give him time, in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to his friends, to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, so that they might seek compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and might belong to him. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. He reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might. Even now you have made known to me what we sought from you, for you have made known to us the king's matter." And that's where we're going to stop for this morning. Well, here we find Daniel in another difficult situation. Nebuchadnezzar had given word that all the wise men were to be killed. In fact, it was worse than simply killed. If you look back at verse 5 of chapter 2, it says, "The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, 'The word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you will be torn limb from limb and your houses will be made a rubbish heap.'" Now, Daniel was unaware of this firm word when Arioch came knocking on his door. Arioch came knocking on his door to arrest him and tear him limb from limb. And I think we need to kind of enter into that and just kind of imagine that situation. Imagine getting news like that. Someone comes knocking on the door and they're told with an order from the king to tear you limb from limb. And I think that's even hard to imagine. I just imagine just a couple of police officers showing up to arrest you. And we might be able to imagine a day when that might simply happen in our country just because we are Christians, that someone will come knocking on our door and have some kind of persecution or arrest for us. And so in our text, Daniel was being arrested because he was seen as belonging to the class of the wise men. He was trained by the wise men of Babylon, and he was therefore viewed as one of them. But it wasn't merely jail that he was being taken for. He was being taken for torture and execution. And so we need to step into Daniel's shoes this morning. And if we do, we will marvel at the extraordinary response that Daniel gave to an exceedingly difficult situation. I called our sermon this morning, "Daniel's Prudence, Prayer, and Praise." Daniel's Prudence, Prayer, and Praise. And we're going to see three extraordinary responses that Daniel makes in the face of death. Daniel's three extraordinary responses in the face of death. And these are for us. They will guide us in our responses to situations that we might face, to anything that our sovereign Lord sends our way. We should respond with prudence, with prayer, and with praise. And that's our outline this morning. Number one, prudence. Number two is going to be prayer. And number three is going to be praise. And as we go through this, I want you to think about it for Daniel, but also for yourself. This is how we should respond in the face of death or in the face of difficulties. And so we should see Daniel's extraordinary responses and then seek to follow in his footsteps. And we should respond with prudence, prayer, and praise to anything that our good and wise and sovereign God brings our way, even if we face an unjust, torturous death. And so let's look at this then. Number one, let's look at Daniel's prudence, or just prudence, number one, verses 13 to 16. In verse 13, we saw sorry, this is supposed to be verses 14 to 16, but in verse 13, we saw that it says, the law went forth that the wise men were to be killed or slayed, and they sought out Daniel and his friends to kill them. And again, this would be terrifying. And I think, if you think about it, this would be frustrating. You see, Daniel didn't know about Nebuchadnezzar's dream or about Nebuchadnezzar's decree until that moment. And so they sought him to execute him, and he doesn't even know why they're there to kill him. And this is incredibly unjust. This law is really a terrible law. And the whole thing would be maddening. And so we wonder, well, how would Daniel handle this? And if you look at verse 14, it says, then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, or the captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, a powerful official for the king, for what reason is the law from the king so urgent? And Arioch made the matter known to Daniel. The Legacy Standard Bible says Daniel replied with discretion and discernment. I just want to read some of the other English translations so you get a sense of these words. The Christian Standard Bible says Daniel responded with tact and discretion to Arioch. The New International Version, the NIV, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. And so tact is in the same place there. The Net Bible, Daniel spoke with prudent counsel to Arioch. And what they're doing there is they're taking those two words together and putting it as one idea, prudent counsel, instead of discretion and discernment. The ESV says Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch. And that's the word that I used for our outline, prudence. The first word, the word translated in the LSB, discretion, is used only once in the Hebrew Bible, and it means to give advice or counsel. The second word is more frequent and it has a similar meaning, understanding. It's often used to pay attention to someone. There's kind of this attentiveness in this word. And the sense of this then is that Daniel replied wisely, tactfully. He replied with prudence. One commentator said this, he said the word for discretion, and he translated the word discretion what the Legacy Standard Bible actually uses discernment for, but he says the word for discretion literally means taste and speaks of appropriateness, suitability. And then he says this, Daniel replied wisely and in good taste, in keeping with the occasion and importance of the visitors. That was Leon Wood. And then he went on to say this, or he said in the same section of his commentary, he said he evidenced no panic, no despair, no frustration, but only spoke wise words in response. People live and act in the moment of crisis as they prepared themselves through previous experiences. Daniel demonstrated his sterling character developed through prior days of trusting God. And that's the end of the quote from Leon Wood again. And all this kind of got me thinking, how might Daniel have responded other than with wisdom, discretion, or discernment? How might Daniel have responded? And the one that comes really immediately to mind for me is just with extreme frustration and even anger. You know, I can imagine him saying, this is ridiculous. And then speaking harshly against the king and maybe even saying some harsh words to Arioch, who was carrying out the king's unjust orders. And I can picture someone other than Daniel almost resisting arrest in a moment like that, or being extremely disrespectful, slandering Arioch, slandering the king. And it would be easy to justify behavior like that, such a response, when the king's firm word was so wrong, so unjust, so wicked. It'd be easy in a situation like that to, as we say, or I think some of us say this, to fly off the handle. You know, to flip the table over and pound your fists or something like that. Another response that I could imagine in a situation like this would be something of the opposite extreme. And I can imagine someone other than Daniel in a situation like that being despondent, depressed. It might be easy to give up all hope in a moment like that. And they might have lost faith. They might have thought, God has forsaken me, that I'm going to be arrested and torn limb from limb. And even in a moment like that, to get angry with God or to fight against his sovereign plan. And in such a depressed state like that, and you could almost imagine someone just kind of sadly and hopelessly going to their death and maybe even just freezing up, where sometimes people kind of go almost like catatonic in a moment like that, and they just kind of, they lose hope and they just lock up or freeze up and they can't even say anything. I've got in my notes here, how do you think you would respond if they came knocking on your door and were going to arrest you and tear you limb from limb? And what we see from our text is that Daniel was in control of his emotions. Can you see that? Daniel was in control of his emotions. To whatever they were, we don't maybe know even what they were, but whatever they were, Daniel was in control, because to respond with discernment and discretion means that Daniel exhibited amazing self-control. And self-control like that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it comes from a deep trust in the Lord in the midst of any circumstance. Prudence means to act with care and thoughtfulness for the future. And Daniel, in control of his emotions, thought, what's the best way to handle this moment? How can I handle this and guard my future, protect my future? And he chose his words carefully. Daniel was submissive to the authority, the king and the commander. He was submissive even to unjust authority, I might add. And in that moment, under control, Daniel trusted Yahweh, his God, to help him. And that's really an amazing thing, to respond with prudence in a difficult situation. Well, Arioch was the captain of the king's bodyguard, according to the LSB. And it means, the word means, it's actually difficult to know exactly what the word means. This captain is just literally head. Bodyguard is a word that comes from the word a butcher. And so he was head of the butchers. But the word also then became a technical term for some kind of an official in the king's court. And maybe it started with the king needed good butchers to have good meals or whatever. It went all the way back. And this word comes all the way from Egypt, apparently. But some kind of an official in the king's court, but especially of a bodyguard or a soldier or an executioner. And some of the translations even translate it this way, the head of the executioners. And even today, it's not difficult to imagine a military squadron being called the butchers, right? Can you kind of imagine that? The butchers, I don't know, the butchers of Babylon, it kind of has a nice ring to it. But all the more in the days of hand-to-hand combat when you were using swords to do battle. And so Arioch was captain or the head of this group of elite soldiers, maybe, or probably not executioners, although that's what they were doing in this moment. He was the head of this group. And then it says even a powerful official for the king. Arioch was an exalted individual. And Daniel asked him a question in discernment and discretion, in prudence, with tact. For what reason, in verse 15, for what reason is the law of the king so urgent? Now, urgent here could also be translated harsh or rash or hasty or something along those lines. And Daniel's question is basically seeking more information. It's basically, what's going on here? And Arioch answered by telling Daniel about the dream, which we already learned about in verses 1 to 13. Now, Arioch also deserves some credit here, at least a little bit, because he's not just power hungry. He's not just out to hurt or kill others and to use his authority in some kind of a wrong way. He listens and he explains the situation to Daniel. And he was likely influenced, and this is good to notice here, he was likely influenced by Daniel's gracious response. And so instead of just saying, you know, who are you? The king gave orders. Be quiet, Daniel. You're going to jail. He listened and explained. And Daniel's kindness, Daniel's tactful words probably influenced him somewhat. Proverbs 15 and verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Again, that's Daniel or Proverbs 15 and verse 1. And so Daniel's gentle answer in this situation likely saved his life and the life of his friends and that of the wise men of Babylon as well, which we'll see later on. And so verse 16 then says, Daniel went in and sought from the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. And so somehow through Arioch, Daniel had access to the king, or at least to one of the king's representatives. And he asked, or he was able to ask through a representative, he was able to ask for time in order that for the purpose of declaring the interpretation to the king. Now we might remember here that when the Chaldeans asked for time, Nebuchadnezzar got angry and said in verse 8, the king answered and said, I know for certain that you are buying time. Inasmuch as you have seen that the word from me is firm, that if you do not make the dream known to me, there is only one law for you. Indeed, you have agreed together to speak lying and corrupt words before me until the time is changed. Therefore, say the dream for me that I may know that you can declare to me its interpretation. But Daniel is not simply buying time. He's not just stalling to postpone his death or hoping that the time would change. Daniel believes that he will be able to hear from God and tell Nebuchadnezzar the dream and its interpretation. And based on Daniel's asking of this, Nebuchadnezzar gave Daniel some amount of time, an allotted amount of time, which he had refused to give the Chaldeans. Now we should note a couple of things here before we move on. First of all, note the contrast between angry, unreasonable Nebuchadnezzar and the self-controlled, discerning Daniel. That's something that the text kind of brings out in these two sections. Second, Daniel believes that by his God, he can do what all the wise men in Babylon say that no one can do. They said in verse 11, no one can declare the dream except the gods, and their gods don't dwell with flesh. Well, Daniel believes that his God can reveal this dream to him. And not only that, somehow Daniel has confidence that God actually will reveal the mystery to him. And how Daniel had that assurance, how he was so certain that he could make a promise like he does in verse 16 to Nebuchadnezzar, we really aren't told, but somehow Daniel had the assurance, he believed that God would reveal the dream to him and that he could interpret it if he was given the time. And this is then incredible faith on Daniel's part. And this leads us then to number two, Daniel's second extraordinary response in the face of death. Number two is prayer. In verses 16 to 19, we have prayer. And so Daniel, having made his promise to the king, He went where each of us needs to go in any kind of difficulty, and really in any and every situation, Daniel went to the Lord in prayer. In verse 17, Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to his friends, to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, so that they might seek compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And remember, as we think about this again, Daniel and his friends are only about 17 years old. And this is then a really great moment. Daniel tells his friends about their danger and about the whole situation. He tells them to pray. And they're going to pray. And he doesn't just ask them to pray that God would reveal the mystery. He says, pray so that they might seek compassion. And this is a powerful prayer. You see, powerful prayer is prayer that appeals to God's attributes. God is gracious and compassionate. And this prayer also leaves room then, when they just seek for compassion, this prayer leaves room for God to have compassion in whatever way he thinks best. And it's very much then like Jesus' prayer, your will be done, or the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6, 9 and 10, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so they seek God's compassion, they seek God's mercy on them, knowing that he is a merciful God, that he is gracious and compassionate, but they leave it up to him to decide the best way to show that compassion. And God is here called the God of heaven, as if to say he is the exalted God, the one who sits on his throne above the earth. And they pray then to an exalted God. They pray to a God that is high and lifted up. They pray to a powerful God, the God of heaven. They pray to the true God, unlike the wise men of Babylon. And this should maybe cause us to consider our own prayers in the face of death, or even when times are good. Do you go to God in prayer, or do you turn somewhere else? You know, where do you go for joy and for comfort, or for pleasure, or for deliverance? Where we turn in trials is our God. Wherever we turn in trials, wherever we turn in difficulties, that shows us what we really believe and who our true God is. And so when we're in difficulties and we're struggling with something and we go somewhere else for joy than to the one true God, it's we're really trusting in that thing. And that thing has then become our God. And our functional God, again, is whatever we trust in. Especially, this is revealed when times are tough. Do we go to the Lord or do we go somewhere else? And that's why the saints always say in the Psalms that God is my refuge. Because the saints seek shelter in him. They turn to him. That we seek all that we need from him. And he is truly all that we really need. That is all that we really need in this world, is the great and awesome God, our God. And so Daniel goes to this God in prayer, the God of heaven, the God that is over all. And verse 19 tells us that God answered Daniel's prayer. And I should just say here too that Daniel didn't just pray alone. He didn't just kind of keep this problem to himself. He sought other godly friends to pray alongside him, to join him in prayer. And sometimes we need to bring others in and ask for help. And God gives us one another to encourage one another and to strengthen one another in times of need. To pray together is a powerful thing. And so they prayed together for God's compassion. In verse 19, it says, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. So Daniel believed, Daniel prayed, and God answered his prayer. And that's really one of the greatest privileges of the Christian life, that God answers our prayers. God is a God who answers prayers. He doesn't always answer the way that we think, but He will always have compassion on us in our difficulties. He will always help us when we pray, "Hallowed be Your name, Your will be done." And He will especially always help us in any difficult situation that we're in. He promises to help us. He loves us. And so Daniel's second extraordinary response in the face of death was prayer. Daniel prayed, and we also should pray. And now third, let's see how Daniel responded to the answered prayer. This is number three. I just called it praise. We could call it Daniel's praise, our praise. Now, many commentators believe, as we come to verses 20 to 23, that praise here, this section, is really the high point of this chapter. Even above the vision and its interpretation, which takes up the rest of the chapter, this is the central aspect, the key point of the chapter. And it certainly is remarkable that Daniel stops the progress of the story to tell us how he praised God for answering his prayer. See, he gave us very little detail about his conversation with Arioch, about, you know, what happened, how did he get access to the king. He's cutting very much of what's happened here. He's cutting it all short. Even what he prayed is really left very brief, so that they might seek compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. All that we know about his prayer is that they prayed for compassion so that they might not be destroyed. But now we have four verses focused on Daniel's praise. We don't even know here how the vision came about. We don't know how or what happened. Was it a vision that Daniel had during prayer? What is a night vision? You know, it's different than a dream, but we really aren't told much about that. But now we stop everything and we see how Daniel praised God for answered prayer. And so Daniel emphasizes, even just with the length of space that he gives to this, and in other ways as well that I'm not going to go into, Daniel emphasizes the praise. And again, the question then is why? Why emphasize the praise? And actually, the vision that Daniel has begins with praise in our text, in our verses. And it actually ends with praise when Nebuchadnezzar hears the interpretation. If you go to the very end in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 46, after Daniel explains the dream and the interpretation, it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and did homage to Daniel and said for them to present to him an offering and fragrant incense. The king answered Daniel and said, 'Truly your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and revealer of mysteries, since you have been able to reveal this mystery.'" And so Nebuchadnezzar wrongly and in a very pagan fashion praises Daniel, almost worships Daniel, offers a fragrant incense to Daniel. But even there, he does exalt God. He recognizes that God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. And so this vision, which we haven't even read yet, but we've been talking about for a couple of weeks already, this vision should lead us, when we get through this, it should lead us to praise. And what it is, just to kind of give you a brief summary, it's a vision of the future that shows us that God is in control of the nations of the earth. And we're going to look at that starting next week. But for now, Daniel wants us to see his response to the vision, which is praise and worship. And so in verse 20, Daniel answered and said, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and might belong to Him. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. He reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might. Even now you have made known to me what we sought from you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Now, Daniel's praise here is very much connected to the interpretation of the vision. And again, the vision shows how God has established Nebuchadnezzar as king, and it shows kings who are going to come after him, the Medo-Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans, and then it shows how God will remove those kingdoms to establish an eternal kingdom that will never fail. And I just want to show you this in Daniel 2, starting in verse 44 and 45. This is Daniel's interpretation of the dream. It says, in those days. Sorry, it does not say that. It says, and in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will cause a kingdom to rise up, which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold, and the great God has made known to the king what will happen in the future. So the dream is certain, and its interpretation is trustworthy. In other words, God will establish an earthly kingdom, and this earthly kingdom will lead into eternity. In other words, the millennial kingdom. And until then, God is in control of each kingdom on the earth, each kingdom that will rule over the world. And to this, Daniel wishes eternal praise to the God of heaven. The God of heaven is going to establish a kingdom. Daniel praises the God of heaven. And he says, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever. An eternal kingdom results in eternal praise. And it will do that. The name of God in verse 20 stands for all of who he is. And for the name of God to be blessed then means for God himself to be blessed. And Daniel then explains why God's name should be blessed, for wisdom and might belong to him. God's wisdom is his perfect knowledge of how to act skillfully to glorify himself. Or God's wisdom means that he chooses the best goals and the best ways to accomplish those goals. And God's wisdom means that he always does that. Every goal that God chooses is the best, and the way that he gets to accomplish those goals is always the best. And so God will always accomplish the best purposes in the best ways. That's an amazing thing that God deserves praise for. The wisdom of God is an amazing and comforting attribute of God. And Daniel seems to be thinking especially here of God's wisdom, in that he used that wisdom to show Daniel what would happen in the future. And next, Daniel says and speaks about the might of God. This is God's strength or God's power. And theologically, we say God is omnipotent. God is all powerful. Which means that God can accomplish all his holy will, and that nothing is too hard for him, that no one can stop him. Wisdom and might belong to him. God is wise and powerful, all wise and all powerful. In verse 21a, the first part of verse 21, Daniel's going to describe then God's might. And then in verses 21b and 22, he's going to talk about wisdom. And so Daniel's praise here is organized. There's an organization to it, and he's focusing especially on God's wisdom and God's might. And now he talks about God's might. In verse 21, he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and establishes kings. Now, times and seasons here is not talking about spring and summer, fall and winter. It refers to what we'll see in the vision, and we would call it the events of history. The times and the seasons, these are the events of history. And by his mighty power, God changes these. And part of that is by removing and by establishing the leaders of the world. In Daniel's day, these were kings. And so Daniel is saying here in his praise that God is sovereign over the times and seasons. God is sovereign over the rulers and the kings of the world. And I love what Dale Ralph Davis said about this. He said, you can walk into the future with a God like that. You can walk into the future. He is in charge of the rulers of the world. And so we serve a God who is in control of the times and seasons. He removes kings or prime ministers. And I think it's providential that tomorrow is election day. And our God is over whatever happens tomorrow. We don't have to worry about it. God is in charge, and we can praise him for that. In the next bit, Daniel comes back to God's wisdom now. Verse 21, he gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. He reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. And Daniel is saying that God gives wisdom to wise men. And wisdom begins with knowing and fearing God. Daniel's saying that when we honor God, when we obey God, he increases our wisdom and he shows us more of his ways. And that's what Daniel had discovered up to this point in his life. And that's what he found just recently in this situation. God is a God who gives wisdom to wise men who follow his ways. And in this particular situation, God had revealed the dream to Daniel. It was hidden. It was in darkness. It was a deep and hidden thing in verse 22. But God revealed it. No one could have figured that out, but God revealed it. God showed it to wise Daniel, Daniel who walked in God's ways. And Daniel's not boasting here, nor is he operating on a works-based mentality. He knows that all wisdom ultimately comes from God. But when we follow God's wisdom and when we believe his word and we put it into practice and do it in our lives, God graciously shows us more and more of his ways, and he leads us into greater and greater levels of understanding. If we're faithful with little, then we will be entrusted with more. And so Daniel is now praising God for revealing the mystery of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And so God shared his wisdom with Daniel. And that's really a privilege, another privilege of the Christian life, that God shares his wisdom with us. And oh, how we need his wisdom. What a blessing to know when the world around seems dark, to simply obey God's commands and know that nothing is safer or better. There's been many times in my life where I didn't understand what was going on. We were in maybe difficult situations, stormy waters, but I knew that the Word of God says to do this, take this next step, and you just do that step, and you know that you are on the safest and best ground in the world when you obey God's Word. You are following the wisdom of God and putting it into practice. And when we do that, he promises that he will give us more wisdom. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. Verse 22 says, he knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. And this refers to God's omniscience. He knows all things. He knows all things, past, present, and future. They're all to him, there before him, with him. He knows what is in the darkness. He knows the hidden things. Light dwells with Him. He is the one that uncovers the darkness. There is no darkness to God. He knows everything. Again, let's hear Dale Ralph Davis, and I want to give the fuller quote that I quoted before. He says this, he says, quote, "And yet Daniel's praise helps us here, because he assures us that even what God doesn't tell us, He knows. He knows what is in the darkness," verse 22. You can walk into the future with a God like that who shows you that history is going towards His unshakable kingdom, and who assures you that even though you have many personal uncertainties, you follow a God who knows what is in the darkness, so you can keep going with hope and without fear. End quote. Well, look at verse now 23. And Daniel comes back to his praise. He says, "To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise. For you have given me wisdom and might." There's those words again. "You have given me wisdom and might. Even now you have made known to me what we sought from you. For you have made known to us the king's matter." Verse 23 begins in the Aramaic text with an emphatic "you," which the LSB brings out nicely by putting it first there, "To you, O God of my fathers," it's to you, God, "that I give thanks and praise." And the wisdom here now, he is not just the wisdom of God and the might of God, but now it's been given to Daniel. And the wisdom refers to the revelation of the dream. And the power, I believe, refers to Daniel's ability to interpret it. God has given Daniel wisdom to know the dream and might or ability or power to interpret it. And notice also that there's the "we" and the "me." Daniel and his friends sought God, but Daniel alone was given the knowledge of the dream in his night vision. And now he has shared it with his friends. "You have made known to us the king's matter." Daniel is now going to go and share the interpretation of the dream with Nebuchadnezzar. And maybe something that we can kind of draw from this for ourselves is that when Daniel's prayers were answered, even in an urgent situation, he didn't just rush off to give the interpretation to the king. When Daniel's prayers were answered, he stopped and he praised God. And he took the time to return glory to God. And we should notice too his incredible faith in this moment. He praised God before the king confirmed the dream. And so somehow through the vision, Daniel knew that God was revealing to him the king's dream. He knew that the vision was true and from the Lord. And so he gave praise right away, even before the king confirmed it. And so in our text today, we've seen that in the face of death, Daniel was calm. He was collected. He answered Arioch, the head of the butchers, captain of the bodyguard. He answered him with prudence. And he was granted favor, and with that favor, he was granted time. And then Daniel gathered faithful friends to pray. And Daniel took the situation to the Lord. He prayed for compassion so that they would not be destroyed. And God answered Daniel's prayer. And so Daniel gave glory to God in praise and thanksgiving. And what a pattern that is for us in times of trial, in responding to trial. Notice the end result here of a test from God. The end result is praise. Right? When you think about this, when we go through difficulties and God helps us, it brings Him praise and glory. And some of our highest praise comes out of the deepest trials. I know that I've found it so that some of the greatest moments of praise come out of the darkest valleys. And when God delivers us from trials, we have opportunity to give great praise and thanksgiving. And God even gives us a special invitation. This is one of my favorite passages from Psalm chapter 50, verse 15. The Lord is speaking and he says this, "Call upon me in the day of distress. I shall rescue you and you will glorify me." And also from the New Testament, we're told this in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, "Be anxious for nothing. Not even when the captain of the guard comes to slay you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And so what a pattern we have from Daniel in times of trial. And we should almost praise God before the trial, in the trial, knowing that we have a good, sovereign, wise God who will establish his praise through the trial and give us an opportunity to bring him great glory, which is really the best thing that we can do with our lives. And so in moments of trial, we should go to God in prayer, expecting him to glorify himself. And in moments of trial, we should answer with prudence and wisdom and follow the word of God. No matter how dark it is, we know that we serve a God that light dwells with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these promises, for these truths. We thank you for who you are. And Lord, like we've been doing all morning, we praise you and we turn now to even praise you again. As we celebrate the Lord's Supper, as we sing the closing song, be with us still, Father, and glorify yourself in this place, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.